Good morning, church. You may be seated. Buenos dias, iglesia. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord and to be with the saints once again. So today I want to talk a bit about the Ten Commandments and how really the focal point, the linchpin of the Ten Commandments is understanding the fear of God. And the fear of God is essential in understanding love. Therefore, the Ten Commandments really do have bearing today, although we don't go to them very often today. But the setting of the Ten Commandments can be found in Exodus 19, verse 18. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. And through verse 20. And here's the setting of it. Now, Mount Sinai is a very scary setting that we discussed last Wednesday night. Now, Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So, fear and fire and smoke and lightning and darkness. Fear was kind of the battery of these commandments being given, but it wasn't how they're supposed to stay. Let's keep reading. Exodus chapter 2, beginning. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 2. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 2. And here we have the famous Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above, or on earth beneath, or in water under the earth. You should not worship them or serve them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands. To those who love me and keep my commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and a mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, a very odd verse, verse 20. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you. And in order that the fear of God may remain with you, so that you may not sin. Don't be afraid, but keep the fear of God. And we'll get into that in a second. But first and foremost, I want to perhaps see if we can take these Ten Commandments and make them useful for today. Because in many ways, they're kind of dated. A lot of them refer to Old Testament thoughts and processes and mindsets. But the spirit of the Ten Commandments is everlasting. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So I believe in every 10 of these commandments, we can still find something spiritual for us today. So let's go through that real quick first before going into how can you have no fear, yet fear of God? So verses 3 and 4 in the 10 commandments, we might not have a false God problem. We might not have a little figurine at home of a false God. But let's not dismiss this commandment, because we still have a problem today with perhaps elevating too highly in our lives, our families, our friends, sports, TV shows taking up too much of our time, video games, food, drink, exercise and health, a great book, a great song, sex and money, all of these things people have put above their time with God. So let's be careful. Verses 5 and 6, God is still a jealous God. Jealousy is not bad if it's owed to them. I mean, we belong to God, so God has a right to be jealous of us. The sign out front today, I love what it says. I hope it's still there this morning. Maybe it's changed. But it says that God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. You see that? Isn't that brilliant? Who did that? That's awesome. I don't know who did that, but God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. And if we only give him a Sunday morning in our lives and the rest of the week we give to everything else, trust me, God will be a jealous God in our lives. He is jealous of anything that takes away from him. Is iniquity passed down still? It says that iniquity is passed down to fathers of the fourth generation. And we know in Jeremiah, it says that's no more. But nevertheless, it's very true that we who have authority over other people have an effect upon them for sure. I have found that parents who act in a Christian fashion almost somehow give their children an unfair advantage over their peers in elementary school, high school, college. They begin so well. If parents raise their children in a Christian fashion, I'm amazed by the advantage these children have. But at the same time, it's almost unfair for children that are raised in a household where there is abuse, where it's unfair. It's almost like a curse upon the children. It's almost like, it almost seems so unfair how messed up parents can, how parents can ruin children's lives at the same time. Our sins are not just upon ourselves. Our sins can hurt people around us. Our sins can still transcend generations. It can still exist today. But thanks be to God that even children with bad parents can be redeemed through God. Even children who are raised inappropriately can have a brand new father, a brand new mother in the church, can find a real father in the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 7, respect the Lord God. I find that there's not enough respect in terms of who God is. There's not enough respectful speaking, respectful living, acting to the glory of who the Lord is. The Bible even says in Jude chapter 1, verse 8, if you go to Jude chapter 1, verse 8, it talks more about this idea of showing God reverence that is due to him. That even, that these men, these evil people, they defile the flesh. They reject authority, revile angelic majesties. Okay, verse 10, let's get to verse 10. But these men revile the things they don't understand, like animals. They are destroyed. Let's make sure that we always maintain a certain level of reverence and respect for God that I feel is quite often lacking in our society. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, talking about the Sabbath. I know that we don't necessarily follow the Sabbath today, but in a sense we do. Let's remember we do because Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. In Colossians 2, 16 and 17, it talks about days. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. All right. Or if you go to Matthew 12, look at Matthew chapter 12. And here we have more about the Sabbath today. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something is greater than the temple is here. But if you have known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. for the Lord, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. The idea, the purpose, the consecration of that Sabbath is fulfilled through Jesus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. I compare that directly to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It still exists today. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Exodus 20, verse 13. I compare that directly to Romans 14, beginning in verse 13. A lot of verses today. Romans 14, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord itself that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, and you are no longer walking according to love, do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Exodus 20:15 says, don't steal. And we might not have a stealing problem today. We might not be going to stores and or banks and stealing from people, institutions, but let us be very careful about media. Let's be very careful with taxes. Let's be careful with cutting corners. I know for a fact that in my generation especially, that the stealing of media and software is acceptable, but it really is not. Let's keep to ourselves a very precise definition of what it means to own something and to steal something. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, not bearing false witness about each other. And basically what this means, let's make sure that we always are truthful about each other. Let's make sure we're always truthful for me, especially about Christ. So when someone comes to us and talks to us about the church and asks us about Christ, that we speak properly and truthfully about our members and speak truthfully about Christ himself and not be ashamed of who he is. But verse 17 begins the main point of really what I want to focus on this morning. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Let's read this again. Exodus 20, verse 17. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servants or his female servants or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Because if we begin to fear God, if we fear God 100%, if we love Christ 100%, it is very, very hard to do these things. If our mind is set on things above and not on the earth below, as God wants, it is very hard to do these things. If we are busy taking care of what God wants us to do, it is very difficult to begin to envy and to lust after things upon this earth. But verse 20, let's begin to open the mystery of verse 20. How can Moses say, I don't want you to be afraid, thunder, lightning, all these things, but yet the fear of God must remain in you? Is there a contradiction in the same verse? What I think we're looking at are two very powerful different figures of speech. The don't be afraid part, I believe, is referring to the physical shaking of fear of the things around you. Don't be afraid of those things. That's not what God wants. But God nevertheless wants us to have a fear of him. One can say a respect of him. Okay? This fear of him, if you will, means knowing who God is and the respect of who he is that comes from that knowledge. Knowing who he is and the respect about God based upon that knowledge. And if we know who God is based on the word of God, based on these Ten Commandments, we have every reason to obey the Lord. It's true. There are people who know who God is and choose not to obey the Lord. But if we're going to obey the Lord, we will only begin to do so if we know who God is. And therefore, we have to respect him and in that sense, fear him. God is good. He is just. He is good. He is our creator. And these laws were created to be good for people who followed them. The fear of God should consume us so much that essentially we fear nothing else. If we have put all of our fear energy into the Lord, there's no fear energy left for anything else. And if we do that, if we have put all of our fear into God, whatever is left is love. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? However, never underestimate the power of choice. Never underestimate the power of choice. Who do we choose to fear? Who do we choose to fear? Do we choose to fear God? To give him all of our fear? Or do we choose to fear man? Because who we choose to fear will determine our spirituality. More verses to talk about this. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. What we choose to fear, who we choose to fear, will determine our spiritual state. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Look at these powerful verses. These verses will give me goosebumps. They're so powerful. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. You are not to say it is a conspiracy. In regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you're not to fear what they fear, or be in dread in it. It's saying, don't make a big deal in your life of the things that people around us make a big deal about. He says in verse 13, it is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear. And he shall be your dread. And it sounds kind of scary. We've given him all of our fear. All of the dread is put into him, so we have nothing left for the world, for mankind. And it says as a result, verse 14, he will become your sanctuary. That he shall become a sanctuary. Some people fear Satan's power over the church more than God's power over the church. Some people fear Satan's power over the country more than they fear God's power over the country. You know, this weekend, we might be tempted to fear racism more than the power of God. And there are people who want to respect violence and the solutions of violence more than God's solution. See, what you fear is what you're going to act according to. If we fear God, we're going to act according to God. Some people fear the very next day. Some people fear tomorrow, right now. Although the next day is in God's hands. Yet God chose the very most stubborn people of all, Israelites, to be where Christ is from. That shows you how powerful God is. Why do we fear? And God chose the worst of all empires to be where Christ died on the cross, to be the setting of where Christ died on the cross and began Christianity. God makes it a habit of taking the worst situations and making it the best and glorifying himself through the worst situations. So why do we choose to fear? Why do we fear circumstance? Why do we fear what the world fears? Some people fear political figures more than they fear God. Why? Some people fear sexual political movements. Why? Some people fear Darwinism. Some people fear terrorism. All the things, political figures, sexual movements, Darwinism, terrorism, is when we say, man, I fear you more than God. I fear that more than God's solution, God's plan. Why do we choose to fear man more than God? Maybe because we see men, we are affected by men, we live amongst men. It's understood as to why. But God wants better. God desires better. Have we forgotten who God is today, this morning, in 2017, in America? It's very easy to forget, but have we forgotten? If we begin to fear man, the side effect, the result, is that we become a very shallow people. It's very interesting. Once we begin to fear man more than God, the end result is that we ourselves become more shallow. Let me show you a few examples in the Bible of people who become shallow because they forgot to fear God more than man. James 2, 1 through 4. Look at these shallow people here in James chapter 2, 1 through 4. Here's somebody who fears God more than man. Look at the results. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism, fear of man. For if a man comes to your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges of the evil motives? Have you not chosen to fear and respect and show more power on mankind than the fairness of God? Or Deuteronomy chapter 1, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, 16 and 17. Watch how shallow they can become if they don't review and view God as number one. And I read this in the NLT, this particular verse right here. At that time, I instructed the judges, you must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and a foreigner living among you. Be perfectly fair, because God is fair. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Hear the cases of those who are poor as well as those who are rich. Don't be afraid of anyone's anger. Some of you just say, don't fear men. For the decision you make is God's decision. Bring me any cases that are too difficult for you, and I will handle them. It's very scary to be fair, because if you're fair according to what God means fair, it means you may bother somebody on earth. There are people who assume that they will have power over us, and if we say no, God's in control of my life, that's kind of a scary thing to do. But if we fear God more than man, we won't worry about being fair. If we begin to fear man more than God, we end up being shallow, biased, unfit people. This whole distinction of people, this whole fearing of man, this whole bias of who we talk to, who we respect, who we judge fairly about, is hurting our evangelism. Churches begin to die because we're not reaching out to all people, because we don't fear God enough. If we choose to fear the rich man and cater to the rich person instead of the poor person, our church becomes shallow. And you can fill in rich person with anything that we may have bias. Maybe you have a racial bias. Maybe you have a sexual bias. Maybe you have a gender bias. Maybe you got a political party bias. And we only want people in our church just like that, just like us. Fill in the blank. Guess what? That's a shallow church. As a church that fears man more than God. If we fear God more than man, it's funny, the end result is love. We will treat everybody the same way, fairly, with love. Speaking truth in love is greater than speaking truth in judgment, speaking truth of anger, speaking truth in rejection. Matthew 10:28. I'd rather tell somebody how to be saved than waste those same words telling them to go into hell. But again, Matthew 10:28, this shallow nature that comes from fearing the wrong thing. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That happens to be God. Again, it's not that I have particular courage at all. It's just that I have spent all of my fear energy to God. The only thing left for other people is love. That's it. It's an emptying of that entire emotion into who God is. Luke 12, 32 and 33. There's so many verses about this concept. It's pretty amazing. Luke 12, 32 and 33. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near or moth destroys. Again, if we fear man more than God, we will not treat people properly. And it's interesting. If we fear man more than God, we're thinking that we're treating people properly by biasing and having our own bias. But the end result is that we're not treating people properly at all. And we as a church have to be in the business of treating people properly. Luke 18, 1 through 8 is a story about a man treating a woman improperly for a long time. But watch what happens. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Now, he was telling them a parable to show them at all the time they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who, what? Did not fear God. That's a bad judge right there. He did not fear God and did not respect man. This is an interesting double whammy here. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterwards, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. That's an unrighteous person said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What if we give all of our fear to God? What if we fear him only? What if we have no more fear left for man? Again, the end result, what the Bible says, is that we will be acting, expressing, and living love for mankind. A few more verses here. Psalm 118, 4. Psalm 118, verse 4. Look at the connection. Look at the connection. And let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. 1 John 4, 18. Look at the connection. 1 John 4, 18. There's no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Look at the connection. I know it's kind of difficult. I know it's hard to understand, but it's one of those things that we learn to understand by practicing. And the first step is this: fear God. As Proverbs says, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding these concepts is, number one, to fear God. Today, if we fear the Lord, if we respect who he is, if we know who he is, and we are not yet in the faith, I invite anybody here to get baptized in the name of Jesus. Repent out of fear for God. Repent out of respect for him. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, in the fear of Jesus, in the respect of Jesus and his words and what he stood for and what he stands for. And you will be saved. Final verse and we're done. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against those who swear falsely, and against those who oppress the wage earner and his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien, and do not fear me. You see, here's the whole point. They don't fear God, therefore they're treating people improperly. That's what it says directly here. It says the Lord, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have he robbed you? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord. Test me if I would not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. But watch this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Church, I pray we can continue to fear and respect God today as we stand and sing.